there's a story that went viral about these people claiming that got stuck on the Small World ride at Disney World for an hour.
Well, that would be kind of, I mean, that would be mind-numbing, really. That music is just going over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is by the time you get on the ride, you've already been in the line for quite a while, too. So you've heard the song.
You know what? You don't. So when you're waiting in line, you don't hear the song as if, like, when you're actually on the ride.
Okay.
Yeah, but then it just plays over and over as you go through the different rooms with all the weird puppet dolls that stare at you with their creepy eyes.
Some are very creepy.
Oh, my gosh. So I've spent a lot of time on that ride, oddly enough. And every single time when I pay more attention, like, one eye will flutter, the other one will be open, the other one will be, like, closed. And I'm like, there is nothing creepier than having to be stuck on that ride. Now, I have gotten stuck on that ride.
Okay.
Never for an hour like these people are claiming to. And I actually don't believe it. I don't think that Disney would allow anybody to be stuck on that ride for an hour. It's easy enough to get people off of that ride. But set that aside. Hearing that over and over, that would be a terrible place to get stranded.
Sure.
But if you got stranded in the worst place ever, where would it be?
Well, I can remember getting stuck one time in a friend's car, and it was stuck up to the tires. It took us literally like 4 to 5 hours to get that vehicle out of a field. We were up in a field area, and it was just wet enough. You know, it was dry out all that day, but just wet enough that when you went to pull out, tires just sank and sank. We had to dig holes, bring in like wood.
Oh, gosh.
It was absolutely a nightmare. Worst part, not my girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got stuck one time. Well, two places were pretty awful. Speaking of Disney World, Spaceship Earth, like in Epcot, the giant thing that looks like a giant golf ball.
Okay.
It's a ride called Spaceship Earth. I've gotten stuck on there a couple times. Each time, only for a matter of 4 or 5 minutes, but the longest 4 to 5 minutes of your life, because it gets hot in there.
Ah.
And on top of that, the smell of the old animatronics, like, lingers. And sometimes when they have to put the lights on and, like, the magic is revealed.
Oh, it gets even creepier.
Oh, my gosh. All I keep thinking about is if you're stuck in here at night, like, you're not surviving. This prehistoric person is going to come to life and, like, take you out, you know?
I got stuck on Harry Potter one time at Universal, and they have you in groups of four people, so you can only stare straight ahead. That's the way the chair is situated, right? So you can't actually see each other, but you hear each other in each other's ears, like, just if you were on a speaker or an intercom. And it started innocently enough. She's like, do you think they know that we're down here? This is an 11-year-old who's grouped with us. Very nice girl, Chloe. I remember her name. I'll never forget her. Then she starts starting with, wow, well, I'm glad I'm not scared. Then she says, I don't know, about 30, 40 seconds into it, you think we're going to die down here?
Oh, my gosh.
In that voice.
Did you die?
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's driving you nuts right now. 1-800-330-9999. This is your chance to get it all off your chest. You just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Ashley.
If you're constantly looking at your phone while I'm talking to you, that's all I need to know about you.
Just keep your hands off it for 1 minute.
But it's an addiction. Like, we have to address the fact that it's an addiction. Your phone in your hand is an addiction for a lot of people.
It's just going to get worse. Mm-hmm. You're like, we have to address it. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to roll it back. Society is pushing you on to do even more and more with your phone and be accessible all the time. You're like, I don't know, 20 years away from the Matrix. That's where we're at.
David, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, if we're going on a date and you're wearing so much perfume that I can smell it down the hall before I even get to your apartment, that's all I need to know about you.
Some people have a smell and they're like really... Yeah, you ever notice that? Like, some people wear so much of one scent that it almost becomes them.
Hmm.
And I wonder, do they smell that on them? Because sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's overwhelming. Sometimes it's just not good.
I think if you have a natural smell or a musk and you wear a little bit of perfume or cologne, like, it's not going to be overpowering. Because you kind of know that there's a line. Those that wear a lot, it's not like they stink underneath. They just really, really, really love that smell. Hmm. It's not for me. I don't find it attractive.
Do I have a smell?
I don't know. I don't like to get that close to you.
It's true. But you don't have a smell. I mean, we sit in this room together for a million hours a day. Like, you don't have a smell. I don't think I have a smell.
I naturally smell awesome, so yeah. I don't wear cologne anymore.
I used to wear Chanel's No. 5 all the time. It's the only perfume I wear because of Marilyn Monroe, obviously.
Oh yeah, obviously.
But only
everybody knew that. Blah blah blah. Okay.
But only like I only spray it if I'm remember it. I'm going out somewhere special. Like I don't put it on every day.
How many sprays?
Like one spritz.
And you walk through it.
No, I put it like right on my neck.
Oh yeah, that's the sexy place. That's where Marilyn would want it. Obviously, obviously, I put it on my neck.
It's ridiculous.
Obviously, because of Marilyn Monroe.
All right. Heidi, that's all I need to know about you.
I'm sure somebody else has said this, but if you don't replace the toilet paper roll after you've used the last of it, then that's all I need to know about you.
My family does this constantly. It doesn't matter how many times I yell. I don't even know what to do anymore. I stopped replacing it. I started bringing my own toilet paper roll in with me so they would learn a lesson.
What?
Yeah.
You're walking around your house carrying your own toilet paper roll?
No, I hide it in a little cabinet outside of the bathroom. And when I go in, because when they do it, it makes me so mad. Because here's the problem. We have like the backup rolls on the second floor. But when the backup rolls are done, you have to go all the way down to the basement. They don't replace it because nobody wants to go down to the basement, right? So what do? They play dumb. Well, you know what? There's only four of us that live in that house with that one bathroom. And one of us is 3 years old. So two people I know are the ones that are capable of doing this. And they are fully able to use their working legs that God gave them to walk down to the basement.
Okay.
They don't do it. So I store, when they do this, a hidden toilet paper roll. And when I see it, I get myself my hidden toilet paper roll till they learn their lesson. And then one of them has to go down and get it.
Do they end up doing the waddle out to where your hidden toilet paper is? Because one of them at least knows where your teepee stash is.
I don't think they know it's there. I hit it like a crazy person. I'm not even going to say where it is in case they're listening. Keep looking, guys. Keep looking. You're never going to find it. It's definitely a creepy hobby.
Mm.
But truthfully, I think it's just some people's job, too. So a reporter tweeted that he was bored. So he tweeted an obituary that he wrote about Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito. Now, here's the problem.
Well, that sounds kind of like a political statement then,
right?
So much. It's not just like a hobby. But
right.
Okay.
Because Justice Alito isn't dead. So why would you tweet an obituary that you wrote about him?
Mm-hmm.
And exactly, the reporter was kind of trying to be like tongue-in-cheek and critical of the judge and whatever. But then I started thinking about it, and he got a lot of backlash for it. Some people's job is to write obituaries before the people are even dead. You ever see that? Like when a famous person dies, they accidentally release the obituary like 7 hours before they actually say that they died. Did you ever notice that? Like, people were writing, and this is terrible, but it's true.
Yeah.
Betty White's obituary was written for most newspapers and all that.
I mean, she was 100 years old, Anna. We could anticipate the fact that sooner or later she was going to pass away.
But imagine that's your job, is to write about old people that are famous because you know that they're going to die at any moment, and you have to have it ready to go so you can be the first person to get that information out and post it on your website.
I mean, the death pool is nothing new, all right? Mm-hmm. And my grandmother wrote her own, I'm pretty sure, years before.
Really?
You know, it's like the last big speech you get everybody paying attention to.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would never write anyone's obituary before they were dead, except for one that I wrote.
Oh. Oh, yeah, perfectly. You have one for me?
Yeah. I figured because, you know, we've been partners for so long.
Yeah,
right?
You know me so well.
If anybody was well-equipped to write your obituary, now granted, you're very young and healthy, but just in case something should happen today, I wanted to be able to have it ready to go so we could get it out to everybody.
I'm not sure exactly how young and healthy I am, but okay. I'm glad to say that, you know, I feel like I'm on the better side of it. Okay.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah. Take it away, please.
J. Bartholomew Raven died exactly how he would have wanted. Cleaning his pool, wearing his scuba suit that was six sizes too small, like his heart. He had many careers that included being a Las Vegas car dealer, working at a restaurant at Six Flags Amusement Park, where his crowning achievement was once seeing Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown.
True story.
And eventually a mediocre career in radio. Also true story.
That's right.
He enjoyed traveling to exotic places. And by exotic, we mean just really overhyped touristy places like Cancun and any Sandals resort that would take him.
I love those places. The Italian restaurant is top notch. And Butch's Steakhouse, the best.
He spent most of his free time watching boring documentaries, eating astonishing amounts of fast food in secret, and memorizing facts about the current season of The Bachelor. May he rest in peace.
Oh, man.
I mean, I nailed it. Like, if you died today, wouldn't you be proud to have that all over?
It's not a bad dismount. It's okay.
Yeah.
I have one for you, if that's all right.
You wrote an obituary for me?
Yes. I mean, I've been plotting your death for many, many years.
Okay.
Anna Zapp, winner of the Perfect Attendance Award in elementary school, and second runner-up in the Pace University Talent Show circa 2000.
Whoop, whoop.
passed away yesterday from infection after once again scraping her own teeth free of plaque using a dental kit she purchased on Amazon.
Yep.
Against the advice of doctors, dentists, and any sane person in her immediate vicinity, Anna enjoyed experimenting with her health and testing fate frequently by cleaning her own teeth and licking doorknobs to, quote, boost her immunity.
Works.
She leaves all
Never had COVID.
She leaves all her worldly possessions and the job of raising her beloved children to whom she regarded as the smartest man alive, her former co-host, Jay Raven.
Oh.
And urges all to continue listening to the Raven and Friends show.
Oh, yes. 100%. Listen, if I die, you don't have to listen to this show anymore. I'm just saying.
Oh! See, it doesn't feel weird anymore.
Check this out. This guy's name is Brandon Conway. He's going viral right now for the impression he did of Michael Jackson. Listen.
Hey, pretty baby with the high heels on. You give me viva like I've never, ever known.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yes.
Huh?
That's really good. That's really close right there.
Well, listen more. Listen to this. Listen.
That you're the one for me, the way you're making me feel.
You just want to sing along, right?
You're feeling turning me on.
Yeah, he's got the little nuances.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's worked on that before, obviously. He sounds pretty good.
Gosh, people that do impressions are so cool.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can make yourself mimic something. I feel like everybody has one thing that they're good at doing an impression of, but like to have that broad range is incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Do you guys have impressions?
Who
has a good one? Producer John, what is your best impression?
My best impression is Gollum from Lord of the Rings. You remember that? The little the slimy little creature from... Anna's looking at me like she has no idea what I'm talking
Maybe
about.
Maybe when you do it, I'll recognize
it. It's the dude that, you know, with the rings.
Yeah,
you know,
the little CGI creepy character.
Paint the picture for you. I'll do it. Go ahead.
All right. Oh, nice. Thank you.
Just get you in your headspace.
My little Herbert says... Took my ring.
You see, I'm kind of tough on the lines. Sean, what's your impression?
That was it?
He gave up so quickly.
Listen, you know what? For the couple of lines I said it, I thought that was spot on, and Lord of the Rings fans will agree with me.
Okay. I feel like producer Sean can probably do better. Sean, what do you have?
I got two favorites. I got Kermit the Frog and the MyPillow guy. I'll give you choices. What do you want to hear?
I want both.
I want both, too.
I want both. You know what? I mean, I don't want to limit
you. Well, you know what they say. It ain't easy being green.
Okay.
That's not bad.
Not bad.
That's more like the old Kermit, too, because the new Kermit sounds a little bit different.
Let me hear the MyPillow guy.
Yeah. John loves this one. I do it every day.
I'm coming to work, and I start talking to him about how he could get a better night's sleep if only he purchased one of my beautiful pillows.
I don't know if that was dead on. I'm not 100% sure about that.
I'm pretty sure it's dead on. Sounds just like Amanda.
I'm not sure if it's the sound, but certainly the feeling it conveys. I get it. I feel it. It's the same.
Raven, do you have an impression?
I have a couple, actually, as a matter of fact. I want to let you know that I was driving yesterday, and I had to go through different ones in my head. So I rejected Cher. Peter Cetera and Denzel's monologue from Training Day, because I just considered our audience and I thought that would be a little bit too much for our audience.
Okay, so what do you have?
So I'm going to be going with Sean Connery in The Hunt for Red October.
Okay.
Re-verify our range to target. One ping only, please.
Feel like it needs more spit. I feel like you got to get the
re-verify our range to target. One ping only, please.
There you go.
Yeah.
How about this side by side comparison?
Re-verify our range to target. One ping only.
It was closer.
It was. I think you're better. I think you did it better.
I did it better.
Yeah.
I did it better. If I had Scottish music, it would have been different. How about yours?
Well, how about you all know this, right?
Happy birthday.
Right.
Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday to you.
This feels weird.
How'd I do?
That's the best impression I've ever heard.
I actually have another one to wrap it up, if you'd like. Just one more.
Uh-huh.
It's very limited also.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage.
Oh, here we go.
Con Air. I said, put the bunny back in the box. Side by side.
I said, put the bunny back in the box.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Gabby is one of my best friends. Every summer, she travels to her parents' vacation home. And because her and her husband are teachers, they spend about 5 to 6 weeks there.
Nice.
And they've had a situation many times where they've come home from vacation and things are not quite right. Gabby, what did you find this time?
Well, this time, after 11 hours in the car, we're excited to get into the house. And usually it smells a little stuffy because it's been closed up, buttoned up for a good solid month and a half. And we walk in. I'm like, this isn't a stuffy smell. Seth's like, it smells like gas. I'm like, but we don't have gas. He's like, it's the oil. And we ran downstairs, and there's oil all over our basement floor.
And it looks like a murder scene.
It looks like a murder scene.
Right. Why oil's dark like blood, right?
Why does it look like blood? Is that what oil looks like?
Apparently, it wasn't from the oil tank. It was from the oil burner. There was a gasket that went. There was a pipe that went. So there's a little water mixed in with the oil on the floor.
That's exactly what somebody who had murdered somebody in their basement would say when the authorities or the handyman arrived to clean up after that. But that sounds like a mess.
It was a mess. And the guys cleaning it up looked like they were from NCIS or CSI with the hazmat suits. And I'm like, this is so not safe for us. And they had the kitten litter. And maybe secretly some of our neighbors, as they're walking by, they're like, our non-teacher neighbors. Yep, this is what happens. Hope you had a fun vacation.
They were sabotaging her. And this isn't the first time things have happened, right? There's been other things that happened in the past when you've returned.
Oh, yeah, no. You know, we thought we were pros. We thought we, like, checked everything off on our checklist. So the first time we went away, we didn't have a sprinkler system. So we had his grandfather come and water the flowers for us. And he left the hose on.
Oh, my God.
Right outside our basement window.
Oh, Grandpa.
Yeah, Grandpa.
Oh, no.
And we had an indoor swimming pool.
Yeah. Sorry, Grandpa. No more retirement for you. We just wiped out your savings to put our house back up on blocks. Oh, man.
So after that, we got sprinklers. And then the second time, we had a hairline crack in our sink in the bathroom. And it was like a pinhole, and it just flowed. And it went into the basement, and there was another, like, foot of water in the basement. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So then we were smart. We had a shutoff for the sprinkler, or a shutoff for the house, and then we can have another handle to keep our sprinklers on. So we thought we were great with that. And then last summer, we came home. We're like, all right, we did everything. Everything is great. It's wonderful. I went grocery shopping, and the refrigerator didn't work. And then talk about supply chain issues.
Wow. Well, you guys can just never leave your house again.
But every year they go. They don't care.
I have that's how bad they need it after the school year wraps up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The nightmare you came home to when you got back from vacation.
Hmm.
It happens all the time. You go, you travel, you're having a great time. You come back, relax, happy. You open your front door and you're like, oh my gosh, something terrible had happened at the house.
You can smell it. You can see it. You just sense it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a terrible feeling.
Yeah. So what are you supposed to do to help ensure that that doesn't happen when you return?
Yeah.
Make your house look lived in. So ask a neighbor to park in your driveway occasionally so there's activity at your house. It's weird, right? I don't know if I'd feel comfortable doing that.
You know, one of the biggest things I remember growing up is timers, right? For your lights. People always say, have your lights on timers and not just like one light in your living room, but have various timers so it turns on the bedroom lights and stuff like that. My grandmother was big on timers.
Yep. Make sure your lawn stays trimmed. Forget it. When we came back last month, it looked like everything was dead. Everything was 100% dead.
Yeah.
Take the necessary plumbing and electrical precautions. So unplug small appliances and electronic devices. Make sure the water heater is in vacation mode. I didn't even know that was a thing.
You know, I have a fancy new water heater.
Yeah.
It probably has like some sort of mode like that. I don't know how to talk to it.
General home preparation. It says make sure you leave emergency contact with somebody in case something happens to your house. Make sure your smoke detectors are working properly. I mean, you should do that no matter what.
Of course.
Run your garbage disposal with half a cup of vinegar and some water. Oh, really?
It seems odd, but okay. Yeah. So it doesn't back up, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I know. I remember one time we came back. We were in Mexico, and we had the best vacation. And we opened the front door, and the dining room had a massive hole in the ceiling. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And it was leaking water. It was our washer dryer. Now, my husband said he had shut it off, but there's no way that he had shut it off.
So, wait a minute. I mean, did he? You mean like at the valve thing, like the hard valve? Similar thing happened to a friend of mine. His parents went away for 2 weeks, and the washer dryer was on the second floor, and it also had a basement. It destroyed the entire house. It did. Yeah. The hose let go, and the entire floor failed. Like, they had to rebuild two levels of the house.
That's what happened. It was the same thing. Our
crazy
washer and dryer was on the second floor. It almost ended up in our dining room. If we would have been gone more days, it would have been in the middle of our dining room table.
It's insane, right?
1-800-330-9999. What was the nightmare you came home to from vacation? Ryan.
I found that my ex-wife had broken into my house, gone into my bedroom, and stolen all of my now wife's jewelry, thousands of dollars of jewelry.
Oh my gosh, that is a real and revealing story.
So what happened?
She went to jail for a year and a half for breaking and entering. We had it all on cameras. We saw her taking everything.
Oh my gosh, how long had she been your ex-wife?
We had just gotten married. It was our honeymoon, and I don't know. We had maybe broken up for a year and a half, 2 years. I met somebody else. We got married. We went on a honeymoon. We were in the Caribbean. We came back, and all the jewelry was gone. We checked the cameras, and there she was.
Oh, my God.
Wild.
That is crazy.
Yup.
Hermila wrote on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven that she found her ferret dead inside her couch.
Oh, no.
Isn't that terrible?
What? Oh, no.
I know.
You get back from vacation, how did the ferret get in there?
What's it doing in the couch?
Does she allow the ferret to freely roam? I have so many follow-up questions. Who was watching the ferret?
I know. It's terrible. What was the nightmare you came home to when you came back from vacation? 1-800-330-9999. My best friend, Gabby, she always goes away for 6 weeks in the summer. Her and her husband are teachers, and they go stay at a vacation property. Mm. They came back. It looked like a murder scene in their basement. She sent me pictures. I don't know what I thought happened.
Yeah.
Her oil tank just kind of exploded everywhere.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's a mess. And it seems like every time they go on vacation, they have a problem.
Always. Always. Speaking of terrible animal situations, Jennifer, what did you find the nightmare when you came home from vacation?
A family of raccoons had moved in on our fire escape and were very loud and tried to always get through the windows, through the screens to come into the house. And then they had babies. It was just a big disaster.
How long were you gone?
I was going to say, they're always trying to have babies somewhere.
We did a Euro trip. We were gone for 2 weeks, and they must have known that sensed we were gone or something and moved right on in.
Ah, the babies are so cute, though. You're almost tempted to keep
them.
No, you're almost tempted to keep them.
No.
Right?
No.
Then they destroy everything.
Jennifer, home from vacation, what was a nightmare you found?
Well, we went out, camping and came back and pulled into the garage and all of our bikes were stolen. I think I accidentally left the garage unlocked or slightly ajar and they were all gone, all four of them.
We used to leave our bikes right on the lawn. You know what I mean? And then I moved into a big neighborhood. And you couldn't leave your bike for 10 seconds not being chained to something. They would just disappear. Your own garage, it feels like such a violation, right? Somebody's been in your space.
Yeah, it feels like creepy. Somebody was in your house. Granted, it's your garage, but still. And man, that just stinks because bikes are expensive. And who wants to pay for another one?
Let alone a half dozen for the entire family.
Carl, what happened when you got home from vacation, the nightmare?
Yeah, I was supposed to have a friend come and look after my apartment while I was gone. And when I came back, all of my plants were dead.
Did they try or did they just not show up?
I have no idea because it was kind of I've seen them since and they've avoided talking about it. Yeah. They don't come over. They don't want to mention it. I have no clue.
Yeah, so they probably didn't show up. My wife and I, we just can't keep any plant alive, period.
Me either.
It's crazy. If somebody asked me, I'd be like, oh, no, you need somebody else.
Right.
Even if you were like, no, you're the only person in the world, I'd be like, say your goodbyes now.
Everyone buys me, my family, my mom, my sister, because they both have green thumbs. They know I kill everything. So now they get me the succulents because they live forever.
Yeah.
I kill those too. My sister got me one for Mother's Day. It was beautiful. And she was like, it's literally impossible to kill this. Guess what?
Killed it.
Yep.
Good
and
job.
I just keep it there and I keep watering it thinking maybe it'll come back. I'm like, no, you can't do this to me. There's rocks on the bottom. This doesn't make sense.
You can't do this to me. Talk to me. Get up. Get up! I love it.
You get home from vacation, you had a great time. You open your front door, and there is a nightmare waiting for you.
Oh, no.
What happened? 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven.
I came back from Jamaica the whole time just praying to sleep in my bed. And when I got there, my cats had peed and pooped all over my bed while I was gone.
Oh, yeah. You know, cats, they can be pretty spiteful. People say.
They're spiteful. Yes. Well, they had litter boxes, but the people I had watching them closed the door to my basement with all the litter boxes.
Oh, what the?
I know. So at least they didn't go all over the house. They just chose one spot, but a bad one.
I'll tell you right now, I would drive over to your cat sitter's house and poop on their bed.
That doesn't sound. What are you? Johnny Depp and Amber Heard? I don't think so.
Turd. Amber Turd. Jennifer, what happened while you were away on vacation? What nightmare did you return to?
I came home. We had a babysitter looking after our house and our dog when we were away. And she used to babysit our daughter. And she had a party. And the party, I guess, got out of control. And our house was like a total, complete disaster. They had stolen things, broken things, slept in every bed. Oh, my gosh. It was total nightmare. Oh,
that is as long as the pets are okay,
right?
I'm gonna be all right. But man, that is horrible.
Yeah, our dog was okay, I think.
Right. Who knows what your dog ingested, but he was still alive when you showed up, so that's good.
And he's fine now. That's all that matters.
Right.
Renee, what was the nightmare you came home to after vacation?
I went out of town for about 3 weeks. I didn't need anyone to come over and check on my apartment, but what I forgot to do was take out the garbage. And it was just rotting garbage that was sitting in my apartment for about 3 weeks. So when I got home, it was the most horrifying smell I've ever smelled in my entire life.
Oh, and flies and all that.
Oh, and it was there. It was thick.
Blech. The maggots have already changed into flies. That's terrible.
The thing is when you come home from vacation, your house smells anyway. Right. You ever realize that? It's got that weird musk smell to it anyway. Couple that with rotting garbage. That
not fun.
Good. No.
Not fun. And you know that flies, they just fly around, land on stuff, and throw up on things.
Oh.
That's what they're doing.
Yep.
They're throwing up on things.
It's their job.
Yep.
Laura, home from vacation nightmare. What happened?
So we got home from vacation and went into the backyard, and a tree had fallen in our yard and ripped the lining of our above-ground pool and flooded the lawn.
And you lost your pool.
That sucks, right? It's expensive and a pain.
Trees in general are scary whenever you're away because you don't know what's going to happen. You have no control over that.
I've got trees that just hang over my house and, you know, sooner or later they're going to come down, but they're not in my yard. I can't do anything about it.
I was just saying, so this week we have a tree that has been dead forever. We've been battling our neighbor that lives behind us for years now because we've offered to split it with them to take down the tree. They always say no. They always say no. So we keep just cutting all the branches. Well, we had a big storm not too long ago, and it took down the fence. So finally, my husband reached out. And first of all, these people are attorneys. Like, you're a lawyer. Like, I mean, I guess they legally know that they don't have to or whatever. They fought us, and they said they weren't going to take the tree down. We came home this week. They cut it down themselves, which, great. We didn't have to pay for it. But they didn't even give us a heads up. Half this tree is on our property, and we had a swing hanging from it. And the swing is gone. How wacky is that?
They just took your seat.
I pull into my driveway. I go, wait a minute. And I look, and I'm talking about a tree the size of, like, I mean, stretch out your arms as far as they go. That big. Completely gone from our yard with no heads up whatsoever. It's wacky. But at least it didn't come down while we were away.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Oh, man, it's not easy being a parent. What did you do this week to earn your margarita? You could always call or text us at 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
I had to go back to school shopping. And not for, like, the fun stuff, not for clothes and shoes, but I had to go and get the pencils and the pens and the binders and the folders and the binder that is 1.5 inches, not 2 inches, because the 2-inch one doesn't fit where they need it to go, and oh, it's not the right color, and oh my goodness, it's just too much. Why can't I just get it all online, you know?
Oh my gosh. I was just gonna ask you that. Like, I don't understand. My daughter wants to buy everything online. We buy everything on Amazon that has to get sent. She needs a book. She's like, I ordered a book, Mommy. It'll be here in 2 days. Great, no problem. For some reason, that back-to-school shopping, she feels like she needs to go into Walmart or Staples or whatever, like it's some kind of, like, Mecca and stand in the aisles and pick the right color purple, this and that. And it's so stressful because they never have whatever's on that list.
But it's true.
Well, you know what? You earned your margarita. Enjoy,
enjoy
it. Alexis, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
Our teenage son got his license, and the first thing he did was backed into the car in the driveway.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when my kid got his license. The first week he had it, he opened his door and put the biggest... I mean, it was like in the center of my door. He opened his door so wide, hit my car door. There was like a dent in my door. And it was like a relatively newer car. And you're like, I'm not going to pay the deductible to fix this one dent and then, you know, call my insurance and tell them it was my kid that hit the car or whatever. So I just had to live with that dent in the car forever, Anna.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't kill him because he belongs to you.
Right.
Oh.
And you feel bad because they're learning and you know they feel terrible about it.
No, I don't know how terrible they feel. I mean, once you tell them they're not in trouble, you know, they're going to forget about it instantaneously. Whereas me, I got to drive the car the next 4 years.
You deserve your margarita. You enjoy it.
Thanks.
Have you ever been in a situation when you're working and a fellow employee or somebody that works for you makes a mistake and you don't quite know how to politically correctly fix them without sounding like an idiot and mean?
I'm not sure that politically correct is the term that we're looking for. You want to help somebody. You want to improve the situation. You don't want to tear them down. You want to make things better.
Yeah, Becca Carnahan is a career coach. You can find her online at BeccaCarnahan.com. Becca, how do you correct an employee without making them feel bad?
It can feel so awkward, right?
Mm-hmm.
When someone makes a mistake and you're like, gosh, like, I know I want to help this person, but I don't want to make them feel bad. So one of the first things I recommend to people is to approach the situation from a place of curiosity. Like, what happened here? Why did they make a mistake? Is that really a mistake? Or is it just a different way of doing things? That's one way to reframe your own thinking, being like, let's ask this person, what happened here? But it opens up the conversation in a way that's not confrontational. It's curious.
So let's say you get an email that goes out to somebody and it has several grammatical and spelling errors on it. And you want to say to them, okay, you have to
you're
think
really
yourself,
dumb, but
you're right. Do you not know how to use spell check? And why would you send this to so many people above us, you know, with these mistakes? So how I would say it is, okay, why would they make all these errors? And then when I have no answer to that.
Right. Then you would have to go to them with curiosity.
Correct.
What happened here? You would have to do that instead of what you've done before, which is you walk in the room and go, this is terrible. Who taught you how to do this? This is dumb. And then actually picks up the stapler, opens it up, and shoots staples at the person.
I would never, ever, ever do that, I promise.
You haven't done that?
Oh, and I believe you. You didn't do that.
Yeah, never. But it is an awkward situation to have. So in that case, you would say in a situation like that, be like, is there a reason why? Did you just send this really quickly? Or how would you phrase that?
You might say, hey, I noticed that this email went out. There were some grammatical mistakes within it. Let's talk about it. Were you short on time?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need some help with your workload?
That's going to be tough here because pretty much we don't lessen anybody's workload. We just put more on. That's what happens. But okay, all
that's
right.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
If you kind of just approach it like, tell me what happened here. Let's figure this out. So that's one way. The other recommendation I have to people too is to not sit on it. Some people they don't want to have the conversation, so they get scared off and like, I'll just wait and hope it gets better on its own. But instead, just have the conversation because otherwise you're going to be dwelling on it. The other person isn't going to have a chance to fix that mistake, and then they're probably going to make it again. So approach the person sooner rather than later, not in front of a ton of people, but privately. You know, like, ask them what happened here, try to explain your point of view, if they don't really have a good reason as to why things happened. All right, we need to make sure that we fix this going forward because this is how it impacts the rest of the business. Let's make a plan for how you can fix this going forward.
I have a problem where I don't like confrontation. So a lot of times this is exactly what I do. I avoid it until it comes so unavoidable that I make Raven do it for me, which is even worse, actually.
That's happened sometimes.
Right? Yeah.
And then Raven's throwing staples, and we don't want that either.
Right.
Yeah, I throw bigger things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when I'm a crusader, so I believe, you know, if I'm losing my temper for myself, then I say to myself, whoa, I should back up. If I'm losing my temper in the name of somebody else, I feel like I'm completely righteous.
Yeah.
I might burn the world to the ground at that point.
And that's what we're just looking to temper our tempers, if you will.
Becca Carnahan. You can visit her online at BeccaCarnahan.com.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you just decide who's right. Tamara and Chris. Tamara, let's start with you. What's going on?
Well, our son is starting kindergarten in the fall, and I want him to take the bus when he goes to school. I think it's something, you know, that every kid does when they're little. It's kind of fun and exciting. It's where you make friends. It also sets him up for a schedule. You know, you have to be at the bus stop at this time to make the bus. And Chris doesn't think that he should take the bus.
Chris, what's your side of this?
I would not say that it's a fun and exciting experience to take the bus. I had a horrible experience doing that growing up. I remember just cringing and dreading it every time on the way to school and the way back because of the way kids are. And the thing is, the school is very close. It's 5 minutes away. And Tamara works from home, has a very flexible schedule, so there's no reason to put him through that unnecessarily when we have the ability to take him ourselves.
You know, I kind of see both sides, Anna. I didn't always have a good experience on the bus, that's for sure. I had a couple of years where it was straight miserable.
Me too.
And, you know, it was horrific. Mm-hmm. And if I could help my child avoid that, I would certainly want to do so. On the other hand, I did meet some friends on the bus at other times, too. If you could almost avoid the first confrontation that you have with the bullies by getting the ride to school, it might, you know, change your whole school career. But you just there's no way of knowing. You know, you just don't know. I mean, bullies will tend to find you wherever they are, too.
Yes. The thing for me, my kids have never taken the bus. I had a terrible experience on the bus.
Yeah.
I would never expose them to it. It's kind of, I don't know, I feel like it's a scar, actually, you know, what happened.
Sure, and I think it is.
The thing is tomorrow you're available to do it, right? I understand if you have a necessity for the bus, that's why it's there. But you would be able to do pick up and drop off if you had to.
Yes, if I had to, you know, but again, I think it sets them up for, like, making sure that you're on time. You have somewhere to be. This is going to be your ride. And to counteract, I didn't take the bus growing up and was picked on because I was dropped off, you know? So it can go either way.
There's social lessons to be learned from a schedule and riding with other people. But just overall, I don't know if I'd put my five-year-old out of the bus stop by themselves anyways. That's just me.
Well, you would stand there and you would get them on and off. You wouldn't be by themselves.
I mean, if you're doing that
out the front door.
To me, then the convenience is just as much. I mean, if it's not walking out your front door, if it's an actual bus stop, like if it's 5 minutes away, to me, it's the same.
But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Five-year-old getting on the bus if they don't have to. What do you think? They used to taunt me, my brother, and my sister. They would say, Geigers! Geigers!
Right. Didn't you explain to me that it was a place that was located next to where you would get dropped off?
Our bus stop was right next to this nursery that doesn't exist anymore called Geiger's Farm. And every time we would get off the bus, everybody would go, Geiger!
I mean, here's the funny thing is, like, why would that bother anybody?
I don't know.
I don't know, but it did. It did bother you.
When you're a kid, those things kind of stick with you.
It was terrible.
Tamara and Chris are having an issue where their son is about to start kindergarten, and Chris does not want him to take the bus. Like me, he had a lot of scars growing up on the bus, and he says there's no reason why Tamara can't do drop-off and pick-up. Sure, her job is flexible enough to do that.
Yeah. Tamara says, listen, it's part of the social experience. Right? Our child wants to try the bus. He's going to make friends on the bus. He's going to get used to riding the bus. She, incidentally, used to get dropped off when she was growing up. Tamara used to. So, you know, listen, I've had bad experiences and good experiences on the bus, and it could go either way.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. John?
Well, I'm on the side of letting the kid decide if he wants to go on the bus, right? So my kid's going to be starting kindergarten. He wants to go on the bus. He's excited about it, so we're going to let him do it. It's not a convenience thing. I don't think it should ever be about convenience when it's kind of safety and what's good for them. You know, I agree with Raven. Five-year-olds not standing out on the bus to stop by themselves. You have to be right there. But it can't be about convenience, you know. I'm with whatever the kid thinks is better for them, honestly. I think that's what it should be. If the kid enjoys the bus ride and he's making friends on the bus and looks forward to doing it, then, you know, that's what you do. If the kid has a problem on the bus where it's, you know, he's getting bullied or, you know, like me, the bus ride was an adventure, that's how I look at it.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. To put your kindergartner on the bus for the first time or not to? That's what's going on with Tamara and Chris. Their son's just about to start school. Tomorrow, she works from home. Her schedule is flexible. She can bring him to school, except she thinks that taking the bus is going to be good for building character.
Chris completely disagrees. Chris says he had a terrible experience growing up on the bus. Tomorrow's home. This is one of the advantages of her being able to have this flexible schedule. Take our son to school on your own.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999.
I'm on the mom's side. The kids in kindergarten, you know, this is a time to experience something new. You enjoy riding the bus. It's fun. I know kids are rough, but if he doesn't get it sooner or later, when is he going to get it? You know what I mean? I'm not saying bully the kid. It's going to happen, so expose him to it. But hopefully he learns from it and he enjoys riding the bus and meets a lot of friends.
I like the idea of actually exposing them to it early, like a chicken pox party, right? So you take your kid to a party, but instead of it being like a birthday, you tell them it's a birthday party, but instead of it being a birthday party, it's actually like a fight club meeting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The alternate route is what I would do is just be a helicopter mom like me and just never expose them ever.
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 Right.
And just hopefully they never have to do what
40 years
bad.
Old.
Yeah.
Handling their bullies still. Anna and Raven. Hi, Kim. Whose side are you on today?
I'm on her side. I have three children. Our bus stop is a block and a half away. They have always taken the bus. Yes, I stood with them when they were little, obviously, but it does teach them responsibility. And nowadays there's cameras on the buses and monitors and, you know, you can see if anything bad is going on.
Hey, Nicole, whose side are you on?
Definitely think that you can take the bus. I think they're projecting their own negative experiences on him. He might love it. But I also think it's important to protect him's resilience. If he does have a negative experience, he's going to learn how to handle it. And that's important. You can't shelter our kids and protect them from everything negative.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Tamara, our audience agreed with you. If you feel like it's something they should at least try, put him on the bus. Maybe he'll love it. Just check in with him every day and make sure everything is going well.
Absolutely. I see people agree with me. It's the right thing to do.
I'm telling you, he's not going to be the same till like 2 hours in because he's going to be traumatized. And then he's going to have to think about coming home, but...
I hope it goes well for you guys, man. I mean, again, you know, it certainly, I understand your feeling of nervousness when you go to put your child in a situation that you didn't have a good experience with before. Hopefully it'll just go better.
Yeah. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,000 thanks to Discover Card. We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, or we could talk about how with Discover you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. I mean, talk about amazing. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. Angela, you ready to play?
Yeah.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Okay, Raven. Get out of here.
Good luck, Angela.
Well, that wasn't nice. All right, here's how it works, Angela. Raven has left here. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Okay.
Number one, actress Jennifer Coolidge said in an interview that playing the role of Stifler's mom helped her become more promiscuous and have more confidence in herself. What is the name of the movie that she starred in as Stifler's mom?
American Pie.
Number two, Brad Pitt praised Ana de Armas as Marilyn Monroe in the recent Blonde movie on Netflix. Who recently wore Marilyn Monroe's dress at the Met Gala?
Kim Kardashian.
Number three, Ellen Pompeo will be reducing her on-screen time on the upcoming 19th season of Grey's Anatomy because of a new project she's working on for Hulu. In Grey's Anatomy, the attending wear dark blue scrubs. What color scrubs do the interns wear?
Great.
Number four, Mindy Kaling said she's happy that TikTok wasn't a thing when she was young because there's so many funny people on the platform that she doesn't think she would have had a chance in Hollywood. She voiced disgust in what Disney Pixar animated movie about emotions starring Amy Poehler?
I don't know.
And number five, Lady Gaga confirmed to star in the new Joker movie. Who will reprise his role as the Joker?
Oof, I also don't know.
All right, Angela. You were real confident kicking Raven out, but I don't think it's going to work for you today.
Here we go.
Angela got 2 out of 5.
2 out of 5, not too good. Let's see how we do.
All right, number one, actress Jennifer Coolidge said in an interview that playing the role of Stifler's mom helped her become more promiscuous and have more confidence in herself.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it.
What is the name of the movie that she starred in as Stifler's mom?
American Pie.
Number two, Brad Pitt praised Ana de Armas as Marilyn Monroe in the recent Blonde movie on Netflix. Who recently wore Marilyn Monroe's dress at the Met Gala?
Kim Kardashian.
You guys are tied at two. Number three, Ellen Pompeo will be reducing her on-screen time in the upcoming 19th season of Grey's Anatomy because she's got a new project on Hulu. In Grey's Anatomy, the attending wear dark blue scrubs. What color scrubs do the interns wear?
White blue now.
Angela, saying it is not helping anybody.
I mean, some wear pink, but aren't they just for the kids? I'm going to say green.
No, they wear light blue.
Light blue.
Number four, Mindy Kaling says she's happy that TikTok wasn't a thing when she was young because there's so many funny people on the platform. She doesn't think she would have had a chance in Hollywood. She voiced disgust in what Disney Pixar animated movie about emotions starring Amy Poehler?
Wasn't it the panda one? It's called Red Panda?
No, Inside Out.
Oh, but it was the panda one?
No.
All right.
Number five, Lady Gaga confirmed to star in the new Joker movie. Who will reprise his role as a Joker?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes. I'm sorry, Angela. He beat you 3-2 today. The right person would have taken you down today, Raven.
Yeah, they were tricky.
Yep. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,100 come Monday.